The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey folks, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. If the Twitter toddler in the White House has you completely stressed out, head on over to BubbleGenius.com and pick up their exclusive Republican voodoo doll featuring the face and body of our cartoon dictator. This item is only available for a limited time, so get yours now, only $25 at BubbleGenius.com, with a third of the proceeds going to support the campaigns of resistance candidates across the country. Plus, if you use our promo code BOBC at checkout, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Somber. So somber.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Trying to sweep the poor little widow under the carpet? Well, think again. I'm on the board of directors of this lousy company.
Well, we assumed that with your husband gone, you would no longer want to be on the board.
Al and I helped build Pepsi to what it is today. I intend to stay with it.
We appreciate your devotion and contribution, Miss Crawford. But we have retired you from the board of directors.
You drove Al Steele to his grave, and now you're trying to stab me in the back? Forget it! I fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
Miss Crawford, we don't want any hard feelings.
You don't know what hard feelings are until I come out publicly against your product, and you'll see how much you sell.
Please, Miss Crawford, it's hardly necessary to make threats you surely don't mean.
Don't fuck with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Bob Seska!
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, hello. Hi. How you doing? It is Thursday, November 16, 2017, and this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. We just had some fun starting the show.
Eat shit, Bob.
With, I think, three or four different starts and restarts. So, we are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com. Or just click the link on the podcast page. Also brought to you by today, Blue Apron. I love Blue Apron because I cannot cook. I just can't do it. I probably could if I learned, but I don't have the time or motivation to learn. So thank goodness there's Blue Apron. They've been giving people like us an easy way to cook for one meal after another without repetition. So this month, Blue Apron is celebrating its fifth anniversary, bringing back our top 20 favorite recipes. As you've heard me say, I love Blue Apron because it's fresh, quality meals. I can easily fix myself without wasting anything. And it comes right to my door for under 10 bucks a person. Blue Apron is partnered with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranches across the U.S. Their seafood is certified as sustainably sourced. The beef, chicken, and pork are raised responsibly, and the produce comes from regenerative farms. Blue Apron has something for everyone because you can customize your preferences. Hmm? Affordable, top-quality meals you can easily make yourself with fresh ingredients brought to you by Blue Apron. It makes cooking actually fun. By the way, no weekly commitment. Start and stop as you wish. Go to blueapron.com/BOBC. Check out the menus and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping. I can't wait to try the crispy wild Alaskan pollock and garlic mashed potatoes with roasted broccoli and tartar sauce. Cheesy broccoli baked pasta with crispy thyme breadcrumbs. Seared steaks and garlic butter with oven fries and romaine salad. Roasted chicken and fall vegetables with cranberry and ginger compote. It's a great feeling to make incredible, affordable meals at home when the food and recipes come from Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/BOBC. Happy anniversary, Blue Apron. For 5 years now, It's a better way to cook. All right. We've got so many things to talk about, so many issues that we need to cover today. So without any further ado, let's do this. Jackie Schechner is here.
Hello, world. Here's the news that she's bringing. Come on, get Jackie.
Trump Crisis Day 301.
A whole lot of stories is what she's singing. We bring you Jackie.
Jackie Schechner.
Come on, it's Jackie.
Yeah.
You know, to start us off on a lighter note, because it's going to get heavy. It's going to get heavy and deep, people. I was thinking about, you mentioned Blue Apron bringing back its top 20 recipes. I was thinking about my top 20 recipes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it goes something like this. Cheese, cheese and wine, cheese, wine and crackers.
Right.
Takeout.
That's funny. Those are my favorite recipes, yeah, too, except forget the cheese. Just leave the wine. That'll be fine with me.
Are you lactose intolerant?
I'm just a little bit lactose intolerant. I have no tolerance for lactose. Down with cheese and lactose. I don't know what the hell I'm saying, but I do know that,
oh, my gosh, what is happening?
The world is falling apart, Jackie, and I'm glad you're here to hold my hand and walk me through all of this. This is... Okay, first of all, I want to get this out.
Is this like our very own sexual harassment training?
I think this might be. It might be one of
those. I don't mean to make light of it, but I really have to say, like, if we're still at the point where people need to go through corporate sexual harassment training, the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, do you not know how to behave towards women at this point in your life? Okay,
oh,
I'm done with that.
So much.
The corporate sexual harassment training is, and Saturday Night Live did a very funny parody of this, because it is absolutely ridiculous. Like,
right.
Your parents didn't teach you how to be a decent human being. If you haven't learned by the time that you reach the corporate workforce how to not be a dick in the workplace, I don't think corporate sexual harassment training is going to fix you.
Right. Here are the magic two words. How about this, guys? Ask nicely. How about that? I mean, is that
a
miracle idea? That is like, I mean, talk about a life hack. That is a life hack right there. Add that to your list of life hacks. You can put laundry detergent on your bread and your bread stays fresh. Something like that. I don't even know if that even means anything. Don't try that at home. I think I'm making
sure
that'll
poison you. But it's not a life hack so much as a life ender.
That's right. But I mean,
way to suggest that to our listening audience.
I mean, I think this is the key. It's just that men don't know how to act nicely. They would rather lord their power over everyone around them. Most of the time, that ends up being women who they believe they're superior to, and so on and so on and so on. It's been thousands of years, Jackie, of society operating like this, with only maybe the last 20 at the very most, if not the last 20 days, in which things have started to turn around. And women have started to really, en masse, speak out against what has been a societal problem since the beginning of human civilization. Let's make no mistake. This has been something that has been ingrained into the heads of men since the beginning of the time. And now, now we've got Al Franken looped into all of this. The giant of the Senate is now taking a step down.
It's disappointing. I mean, look, I don't even know where to begin. And I will preface this part by saying that I'm sure I will say something that'll get me into trouble during the course of this podcast.
Yeah.
So just allow me to kind of clarify and don't take things out of context, because I have a lot of thoughts swirling around in my brain on all of this, from personal experience, from my sentiments towards people in general. So I'm conflicted on a lot of these issues. I know where I stand fundamentally. I'm disappointed in what Senator Franken has done or allegedly done. I don't even know what the right phraseology is at this point. I am pleased with the way that he has responded, because he put out an initial statement and then there was some criticism that it didn't go far enough. He put out a second statement. And I think at this point, saying that you're sorry, saying that you agree that there should be an ethics investigation, although I'm not entirely sure I concur with that, because this happened before he was in the Senate. He was a comedian at the time. It was in poor taste. But I'm not entirely sure that it warrants a senatorial investigative ethics investigation. I don't know what the formality on that is. I'm not sure that's how I think our taxpayer money should be used. But at the same time, I think that if something like this is going to come out, there is a right way and a wrong way to handle it.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why, look, I think Louis C.K.'s behavior was gross. I'm not so sure that there's a benefit to...
Probably a little psychotic, too. I think
Louis C.K. was a little bit psychotic. Yeah, I mean, it's like whipping it out and masturbating in front of women. But I also think that there are gradients to these behaviors. Mm-hmm. And I think that trying to date 14-year-olds is different than acting inappropriately in a room with consenting adults who have the very, you know, the very real opportunity to stand up and walk away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not victim blaming. I have been in my fair share of uncomfortable situations throughout my personal and professional life.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There are some where I have made some very poor choices that have landed me in a very uncomfortable situation where I take full responsibility for getting myself to that point. Mm-hmm. It does not excuse the behavior that occurred after that fact. So I am in this world of empathy, and I've been there, and I understand it, and I am not victim blaming. So let's just get that out there, right? But I do think there are gradients to this, and I think that we need to be careful with the nuances.
Yeah.
And all of this falls under the umbrella of we have a man as the president of the United States who admitted to sexual assault, mm-hmm. who bragged about grabbing women in their genitals without their permission or consent, mm-hmm. with kissing women without asking and just going ahead and doing it.
Yep.
He laughed it off or brushed it off as, quote, locker room talk. He got elected and he is supported by fellow members of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that umbrella, right? And then if you are not every day standing up and saying, investigate, impeach, get rid of him, I don't think you then have the right to stand on that same soapbox and scream that Al Franken should now be castrated for his behavior. Like, I think that you need to be equal in your outrage on that.
Absolutely. And of course, we're going to see, you know, a conga line of Republicans and Fox News hosts throwing Al Franken under the bus, saying, "Ah, see, look. And I can hardly even bother to go over and check out Donald Trump Jr.'s Twitter feed right now, because it is probably douchebaggery of the highest order going on. It usually is, but today, especially so, because you know
what
he does.
Well, he's now actually celebrating that he can kill elephants.
That's another rant that I have to do here on today's show. But, I mean, regarding Al Franken, there are two sides to Al Franken's reaction. First of all, I think what he has done, the way he has organized this statement, the way he has said, I will subject myself to an ethics investigation, etc., that is how you should react to something like this.
Sure.
And this is a lesson that obviously a lot of Republicans have to take away from all of this, which they definitely will not.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, Louis C.K. came right out and copped to it. A lengthy statement about, yes, I did it. Here were my thoughts at the time. Here's what I was thinking. Here's where I was wrong. Whether that absolves Louis C.K., you're going to have to decide that for yourself. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think it does. But with Al Franken, the same thing goes. He makes another statement, says, I'm going to subject myself to an ethics investigation. This is how it ought to happen. Now, the problem is that the ethics investigation that's going to take place will take about 3 seconds. Oh, there's a picture. Look at that picture. There it is. There's Al Franken reaching for her breasts while she sleeping on that flight with the USO. And then also here's her statement, which I have sitting here in front of me. She wrote an entire statement about how it says here, Senator Al Franken kissed and groped me without my consent, and there's nothing funny about it. And she goes on to describe the whole series of events that went on during this USO thing in 2006 with Al Franken and so mm-hmm. forth. Now, as far as the investigation into that goes, as I said, it's going to take a couple of seconds to find out that this is what happened. Now, ultimately, it's the right move, and it has to be the right move. But you're also right, Jackie, insofar as there are degrees to this. There is no comparing. Certainly what Al Franken did was wrong, and he should be held accountable for it. But there's no comparing what Al Franken has done to what Roy Moore has done, or even to what Harvey Weinstein or Louis C.K. have done.
Louis C.K. Hold on, I just want to make a clarity here on Louis C.K. Okay, he hasn't, from what I understand, he didn't assault anybody. He didn't physically lay his hands on anybody.
Yeah, but it's still, you're injecting the image of yourself masturbating into people's heads without their consent.
Yes and no, right? I mean, without their consent is I'm not, I know this is where I added that caveat at the beginning because I'm not entirely sure I know how to phrase this.
Right.
I want to make sure that we don't demonize activities that seem out of the sexual norm.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of people, I'm sure, who enjoy masturbation as part of their sexual activities.
Yes.
And masturbating in front of other people. Like there's a genre for that. Yeah. And I want to make sure that it's not, ooh, he's gross for doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Because I never want to get into a situation where we're judging other people's sexual preferences.
Or shaming people who masturbate.
Right.
That's
right. Shaming masturbation
right.
In front of other people as part of your sexual activity.
Yeah.
If this is happening in an environment where it's not consensual, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Absolutely a problem.
Yeah.
If this is happening, if somebody is being forced to participate in that sexual activity, not okay.
Yeah.
I think that if you are in a room and somebody whips it out and they start, like, there's an opportunity as a grown adult to get up and leave.
Right.
If you choose not to leave, you've made a choice not to go.
Yeah.
So that you have a good story later because you're frozen in the moment. Whatever the reason is, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what your reason is in that moment. I wasn't there. I don't know what it is. But I just want to make it clear that there's a difference, I think, between that and physically grabbing somebody, physically forcing yourself on somebody, physically attacking somebody. Like there's a difference there, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think there's a difference.
I think there is, obviously there is a series of differences physically.
You send me a dick pic I don't want to see, you forced your dick on me. But that's not the same thing as grabbing me and forcing your body on me.
Yeah. Well, I think the objection comes in the fact that these women were in a place where they couldn't necessarily embarrass or offend Louis C.K. because they needed him knew that they needed him.
Yes. So therefore, I don't disagree with that at all. There's
right.
a power dynamic that comes into play.
Exactly. So that therefore is a form of coercion. So while it's easy, I think, for us to say, and far be it from me to disagree with you on this, Jackie, because you would have obviously more insight into what it's like to be a woman in a professional setting than I do in a million years. I'll never have that
insight. I just
want to
have these conversations because I think it's deeper than what we're hearing on the news. I think these are the conversations I think people should be having. I think we should be willing to have them.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be disagreed with. You know, I'm happy for people to come out and say, no, Jack, you're wrong. But I don't think it's black and white. And I do think that it's worth having these, because my fear is, And this is my fear in all situations like this, that we will, we are at a tipping point right now.
Yes,
right?
very much.
All of these women feel super safe and comfortable coming out with their mm-hmm. stories. And I'm excited about that because I think that we are seeing a change. I fear that there is an opening for some opportunism.
Yes.
And I worry about that because I don't want to lose this momentum and these moments.
It's funny, Chez would have said the same thing, just to throw that in there, Jackie. He would have had the same words of caution, because obviously in any situation where you start to have a series of people coming out making allegations, obviously you're going to have copycats and attention seekers who want to jump aboard that bandwagon, and that may be the case here. But as far as actually now verifying the claims made by a lot of these people, certainly by the people who are linked to the Louis C.K. episodes or even the Harvey Weinstein episodes.
Sure.
And certainly the Roy Moore episodes. That's been almost entirely verified now. So we know that I'm not aware of anyone who is being targeted as being a faker or an attention seeker jumping into the mix here. So
not yet. I don't mean to accuse anybody of that. I just have this fear because I'm a worrier. It's what I do.
Well, let's move this conversation over to the Franken story.
Oh,
so say you're Leanne Tweeden and you're wearing a flak jacket and a helmet, and you're on this, whatever they are, they're on a C-130 or whatever, going to the USO shows to entertain the troops and so forth, and you're falling asleep, it's a long flight, and suddenly you find out that Al Franken was pretending to grope you as a joke in the middle of the night while you were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
What is your reaction to that? I personally, it's hard for me to say because I'm a guy and I have a different perspective. I have a different insight on all of that. So on the outside looking in, though, it seems like he's definitely in that weird gray area, especially given the enlightenment that we're going through right now, which is absolutely necessary. I mean, we're coming to the end of thousands of years of civilization, of men controlling the playing field for all
it's
sexual
activity.
It's
stupid. It's immature. It's ridiculous. He looks like an asshole. Like, it's not, there's nothing dignified about that. You're a child. That's like what, you know, children do.
Well, this is the
preteen boys. It's a dumb thing. First of all, I don't know who put the photo out. Yeah. I don't know if she have the photo? Did he take the photo and then give her the photo?
I have no idea.
I'm curious about that. I don't know who had the photo.
I'm skimming through her statement here. I don't see where.
Yeah, I mean, I just read something that his brother took the photo, that his brother was the photographer. But the question is, like, who had the photo? Did he give her the photo? It's dumb. He looks stupid, and he knows it's stupid, and he's embarrassed by it, and it's a stupid thing to do.
Oh, here it says right here. It wasn't until, this is from her official statement, Tweedon's official statement. Okay. It wasn't until I was back in the U.S. and looking through the CD. Of photos, we're CDs of photos. Isn't that quaint? CD of photos we were given by the photographer that I saw this one, and then she obviously prints this
okay,
picture.
Okay, so
of,
she had it.
Yeah, and it looks
it's
really
stupid.
Bad.
I mean, he didn't touch her. He's pretending to grope her.
Right.
He's an idiot. It just looks juvenile and stupid and immature.
Yes.
And frankly, if I'd seen that, I probably would have been like, "What is wrong with you?" And then I would have written it off because. You know, had it come on the heels of his shoving his tongue down my throat, I probably would have a different reaction.
Yeah.
But if I were simply just the subject of that photo, I probably would have just said, "You're an idiot. What are you thinking?"
Yeah.
I tend to be, how do I phrase this? I tend to be a little more forgiving of juvenile male behavior. Simply just because I've encountered it so often that it rolls off me a little bit quicker than it may for other people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that my barometer is accurate. It doesn't mean that my sensibilities are more correct than somebody else's. And so, you know, there are plenty of women, I'm sure, who would be more offended by that than I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I just tend to be more of a, I tend to be less bothered by things that some women are more bothered by.
Yeah.
It's the nature of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking a lot about this as this news came up today, because I've been thinking about kind of femininity and sexuality and the workplace and the instances that happened, you know, over the course of my career. And I've said very openly on social media that I don't intend to out anybody because I think a lot of what's happened in my life is water under the bridge at this point.
Yeah.
And I don't feel the need to ruin lives. But I will say that there have been times in my professional career where making a decision to accept a sexual advance would have advanced my career considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And I've chosen against it. And I've chosen against it because there's a moral code that I like to live by. I know that I like to look at myself in the mirror every day and know that I've achieved what I've achieved because I fought for it and because I was good at what I did and not because I took somebody up on the opportunity to service them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also very much aware that there is a sense of currency for women in the way that we look.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And there are plenty of women who are willing to take advantage of that and men who are willing to let them take advantage of that. And so, you know, I think until we get to a point where that's not a form of currency. And I think we're getting close or close-ish. But I think that there's a reality to that.
Yeah.
You know, that just as many men who make overtures towards women, unwanted advances, there are a fair share of women in this world who know what their femininity and sexuality can get them. And they're willing to trade on that. I think it outnumbers. I think the men who make inappropriate advances outnumbers the women who are willing to use it. But I do think that there has to be some acknowledgement that that there's a system there that allows women in some capacity to take advantage of it.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I wrote a piece for the Banter magazine. It's out today if you're a subscriber at thedailybanter.com. You can read this.
And you should be.
Exactly. One of the points that I made in it, though, is that I think episodes like this, whether it's the Franken thing or the Roy Moore thing, they emerge from differing perspectives on sexuality. There's mm-hmm. a male conquest attitude about sexuality that comes into play in a lot of ways, where the perspective is therefore then screwed. So if you're someone like Roy Moore, you're putting yourself in the mind of, or in fact Louis C.K.'s victims as a better example of this, you're putting yourself in the mindset of them thinking that, oh, well, if I was one of these women, I would love it if a woman sat down and started to, you know, if I was a guy, if I was in their place as a man, and Louis C.K., instead of being Louis C.K., was a powerful female comedian, and if mm-hmm. she sat down in a hotel room and started masturbating in front of me, I would be totally turned on. So
it doesn't
work like that. It absolutely doesn't work like that. There are very different perspectives and different insights and different environmental factors, certainly chemical factors at play too, that differ between men and women, generally speaking. And obviously there are exceptions to the rules, and that's a separate discussion. But mainly what we're talking about is men having a skewed perspective of what women want by inaccurately superimposing male attitudes and male desires and male needs for conquest and power plays onto women. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Well, again, there might be exceptions, sure. It's not the case at all. If in the case of Louis C.K., yes, these women were offended and taken aback in some capacity, whether it's in the moment
or
in hindsight.
And that's enough. And I don't mean to imply that that's not enough, right?
Yeah.
That's enough. If you're offended by it, if it bothers you, that's enough.
Yes.
Like your space has been invaded in some capacity, and that's enough.
I mean, generally speaking, and this is just based on the women I've talked to over the years, guys, women are far less into your dick than you are. you are way more into your dicks than women are into your dick. So bear that in mind, and don't take that as being something that's an offensive slam against you in some way, or some sort of diminishing of your power or prowess or anything like that. It's just the way the world works. It's just the way human biology functions, and the differing in upbringings between men and women, and the things that we learn as stupid guys in goddamn high school locker rooms or wherever else about what women want. And most of it is bullshit.
I mean, if you look at the prevalence of online pornography and how easy it is to obtain and how easy it is to watch and how it's more and more graphic and the acts that are getting attention are more and more extreme, that we've created this sort of sexual rape culture where women are portrayed as loving your dick and wanting your dick and wanting you to squirt all over them and, you know, without getting hard. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mom. But I know, as I'm saying this stuff, I'm thinking my mother's going to listen and this is going to mortify her. And she's really open-minded.
Yeah.
But, oh my goodness, where am I going with all of this? But the point being that I think that this is, we have created a whole generation of men. I mean, it was different when your pornography was the magazine with the airbrushed photograph of the beautiful naked woman. And then the hardcore stuff was like in the back of the smutty movie rental place, you know? But now you just, you know, you turn on your computer and everything you want is there, and it's more and more extreme. And you even hear women in the industry talk about it, because I've seen, you know, these documentaries and listened to some of these interviews, and how, you know, in order to make any money anymore, you have to be willing to go as far as you possibly can, as quickly as you possibly can, because the oddities are what sells. And so we've created this culture of like, you know, give it to me, hurt me, punish me. Like, it's this, so men think that, not all men, right? But there is a generation of men that are growing up with thinking that that's what sex is.
Yeah.
And that's what sexual encounters are. And that women want that. That's detrimental. Societally, it's detrimental.
Yeah. And this is all happening at just the right time, as far as I'm concerned. Because one thing I've observed is right along the lines of what you were saying, Jackie, which is that it used to be when I hate to sound like an old fogey now, back in us Gen X, when Gen X were kids, we used to have to. it used to be a project to get your hands on some porn. It used to be a real. You would have to either be lucky enough to have a stepdad or an uncle or something who had a porn stash in his closet, and you would go in and raid some old Playboys or something like that, or it would just be this Herculean effort that involved blueprints and and hatching plans to get your hands on either a VHS cassette or even an old Super 8 film that you would go and watch in your attic or whatever. And that used to be the way it was before free online porn. And now we've got an entire generation of men coming of age with readily accessible at the point and click of a mouse to get their hands on whatever variety of porn they can possibly...
I mean, and young women whose sex education are those videos.
Exactly. Right. And so there's
To behave like that for a guy to like me.
Yeah.
I have to let a guy do that to me in order for him to like me.
Exactly. And then you have this whole generation of men who are learning that this is how sex is. This is how sex is supposed to be. Well, and not only is it creating negative body image, not only for the women, but also for the men, by the way, because very few men can live up to the genetic mutations that you see in these porn videos. But the fact is that... that it's also giving a skewed perspective of what women want out of sex. Like, you get the impression that every damn woman wants to be spanked on the ass until they're bleeding based on porn. Sorry, Jackie's mom.
You don't know what my mom likes.
On that note, yes. I looked it up yesterday on Pornhub. The fourth most popular category on Pornhub.com is barely legal porn.
Oh, God.
That, you know, the reason why it's so popular is because men can watch it and vicariously imagine that they are having sex with an underage girl, even though most...
Let's do the Roy Moore thing for 1 second. Let me just back up 1 second. So when I do this Trump investigation stuff, right, I say these people, coincidentally seem to know a lot of Russians, right? Like, nobody knows that many Russians.
Right.
Nobody knows that many underage women, right? Like, it's a little coincidental that Roy Moore seems to have hit on young women, was banned from the mall, was calling women during their high school classes. Like, this is all really shady stuff.
Yes.
And 14, I'm sorry, is prepubescent. It is incredibly young. 14 then is not 14 now. Like, we tend to think, you know, 14-year-olds now, there's a lot of them who are a little more advanced than they should be for their age. But 14 then is very different than 14 now.
Yeah.
It's still under the age of consent. If you have to ask a girl's mother permission to date her, she's too young.
It's ninth grade. Ninth grader.
Way too young. And it's gross. Yeah. It's pedophilia. It's legal statutory rape if you have sex. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if there's other activities that constitute statutory rape, but it's not okay. Yeah. And I don't believe that these women would make themselves vulnerable to media scrutiny if it weren't true. I just don't believe that. There's nothing for them to gain.
Well, we're at the point now where not even the Republican Party believes him anymore. Certainly not Mitch McConnell. Certainly the Alabama Republicans are standing by Roy Moore. But, I mean, they're all starting to back
away. Yay, Alabama. Way to really improve your reputation.
Yeah, in fact, it was the head of the NRSC who said that that Roy Moore had... How can you forget having sex with a 10th grader? That's what they said in reaction to Roy Moore. Somehow Roy Moore is forgetting this information. That's bullshit. I mean, you don't, and it's not even, it's funny because the I forget the guy's name, the head of the National Republican Senatorial Committee said that it was 10th grade. It's actually 9th grade. 14 years old, I believe, is 9th grade. So that's first year of high school, for God's sake.
That's not even a woman. Like, your body isn't even matured at that point, right? It's a little girl.
Yeah.
You're fondling a little girl. You're making out with a little, you're in your 30s.
Yes.
Sometimes you think, like, oh, if you've graduated college and you're dating someone in high school, it's gross. Like, you're in your 30s.
Right. And this guy was an assistant district attorney.
What do you have in common with a ninth grader in your 30s?
He's walking around like Aqualung. I made this joke the other day. Yeah. That's Roy Moore, but right there. Yeah, I mean, they had to ban him from the mall. It is so horrendous. And you know what? No, there is no a real equivalence between what Al Franken did and what Roy Moore did. But I think ultimately Al Franken is taking this in a stand-up way.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very least, you can say that about him, no matter how horrendous his crime in the first place. So that's I think that's the real dividing line between all of these. I don't know what you would even call them. It's hard for me not to call them criminals. I think in the case of Roy Moore, what we're talking about is criminal, obviously criminal behavior on, yes, on so many levels, on a serial kind of level.
Have you seen his lawyer? He's my new future SNL favorite character.
No, I haven't seen Roy's
lawyer. If they don't hop right on that, like Saturday Night Live better get on that. I'm not entirely sure who would play him, but God, he is my favorite new character.
Oh, my God.
Oh, his lawyer is something else.
I'll have to go check him out. I'll have to go check out Roy Moore's lawyer. All right, well, here's the good news. The holidays are coming. The bad news is gift giving is hard. And I have a great way to solve this. I mean, I figured this out last year, and in fact, a couple of years ago.
Give me all the gifts.
Yes, that's right.
All the gifts.
Send all of your gifts to Jackie Schechner, care of investigaterussia.org, and she will...
All the gifts. That's your gift-giving solution. Just send them all to me.
Including lots and lots of Omaha steaks. I hope you have plenty of room in your freezer, Jackie, because every time I get a new shipment of Omaha steaks, especially the family gift pack, I can't fit all of it into my freezer. There is so much good stuff in there. And what makes it especially great for the holidays is if you have pop-in guests and you go, oh, you're in town. Oh, hello. I have nothing to serve you. But if you have a freezer full of Omaha steaks, you've got a meal right there. You've got a meal for four, at least a meal for four, and they could be eating that for weeks. And right now, because you listen to my show, you can get the family gift pack at a savings of 75% for just $49.99. Here's what you get: 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausage, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, which are my absolute favorite, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and a packet of Omaha steak seasoning. And again, because you listen to this show, an extra 4 kielbasa sausages for free. And who doesn't love free sausage? But to get this amazing gift at the amazing price of $49.99, to get this 75% discount, you have to use my code. Just type B-O-B-C. In the search bar at omahasteaks.com. I've had Omaha Steaks meals many times and love them, and I've gotten compliments on my grill skills thanks to Omaha Steaks.
Is it true that a man should never touch another man's grill without permission?
Or their free sausages. Don't touch any man's free sausage. Don't accept any free sausages from anyone. Unless you know them, of course.
I heard that was a thing. Like men are very proprietary when it comes to their grills.
Omaha Steaks has an extensive menu, including premium aged beef, pork, lamb, poultry, and seafood. Send all your complaint notes to Jackie Schechner at investigaterussia.org. But Omaha Steaks also has sauces and seasonings, appetizers, soups, veggies, pasta, and desserts, all made with the highest quality ingredients and 100% guaranteed. And they have over 500 other gourmet gift ideas. Right now, the family gift pack is just $49.99. If you enter the code BOBC in the search bar at omahasteaks.com, give the best gifts ever with Omaha Steaks and more from Omaha Steaks.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back to our big Thursday show. Jackie Schechner is here from InvestigateRussia.org, your one-stop shop for everything that's happening in the Trump-Russia investigation. Lots of
talk
about.
I do when I'm not talking about sex with Bob.
That's exactly
right. No, not sex with Bob.
Right.
Kimberly, I'm sorry. Sex conversation with Bob. There you go.
All right,
I harassed you.
I'm just going to completely. Sorry. I'm going to completely change the subject. Okay, listen up. We're doing a huge push for our Patreon page. We're at 80% right now. 80% to our goal. What I want to do is by the end of today, or let's say by the time we record our next show, because I know people listen to the show on a delay. They may listen to it tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday or whatever. By our next show, I want to be up to at least 81 or 82%. So let's make it happen. Tell all your friends to go to our Patreon page and sign up at the very minimum at the $1 level. But let's talk about signing up for $15 a month. That's our top level. It's just $1.88 per show. So in addition to the free Tuesday and Thursday shows, remember, they're free. But you also get two post-mortem shows per week, plus the Friday after party every week, and my exclusive reading of the Steele dossier. All of that for free. And we'll take out all the commercials from the free shows, too. But only if you sign up at $15 a month at patreon.com. You can get to our Patreon page by going to bobsesca.com. Just beneath the logo, there's an all-caps link. It says Patreon. Just click that, and it takes you right there. It's that easy. And please tell all your friends. Okay, so moving on. Oh,
wait,
by the way,
real quickly, about the Steele dossier.
Yes.
Let people know there's a book that's out today, a new book that's by a Guardian journalist who also was the Moscow bureau chief for a while, and he interviewed Christopher Steele.
Yeah.
And there's allegedly some very interesting information in that book, not the least of which is that Steele very much stands by the memos that became the dossier. He thinks the information in them is somewhere between 70 to 90% accurate. In terms of the information that the sources gave him, he didn't pay any of his sources for their information. He says, look, you know, I've worked in that country for 30 years. Like, why would I make anything up? So there's some interesting. And also, he reportedly told this Guardian reporter that investigators need to be looking into Trump's real estate deals.
Yeah, his hotel and land deals in Russia. Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a lot coming out in that. I think the journalist's name is Harding. The book comes out today, and Natasha Bertrand at Business Insider is having some sort of interview with him, I think, tomorrow.
Right.
So it should be interesting to see the news that comes out of that. But Christopher Steele very much standing behind his work.
I want to talk about this U.S. Embassy in Moscow story in just a second. Before we dig into that, we've got to talk about this little scene that happened at the White House yesterday.
Japanese companies have announced investments in the United States worth more than $8 billion, 17,000 jobs. Thank you. They don't have water. That's okay.
Oh, is this the ridiculous water thing?
He's so thirsty, yeah. Drinking his water with two hands. He holds, you know, Trump, this all happened yesterday. I love the first part where he's talking and it's a Trump voice, but then it gets real cotton mouth and it gets sorted down like this. And Japanese companies, I need water. And he just completely goes into full meltdown mode. Then he grabs the water. He's holding it. He's holding this bottle of Fiji water, which, by the way, is bottled overseas. So much for America first. But anyway, so he grabs this bottle and he's holding it with two hands. Like if you've ever watched a hamster eat a piece of corn,
that's a good analogy.
Or a squirrel. There's one. Next time you see a squirrel eating a nut in the yard, watch how they hold the nut. That's exactly how Trump was holding the water. And then right, exactly. So not only does he bring it up to his mouth in a weird way where he makes that big pucker mouth and he seems to move the bottle away from his mouth as he's leaning over to put his mouth up to the bottle. So it's actually getting farther away as he leans over. And then finally he gets the bottle of water up to his mouth. And this is a little bit of an illustration as to what it sounded like, just vaguely just lapping it up. And then, then he puts the water down. He's fully satisfied. But this was Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign talking about Marco Rubio's water and cottonmouth issues.
When they put Marco on to refute President Obama's speech, do you remember that catastrophe?
What a dick.
And we were, I need water. Help me. I need water. Help.
What an asshole.
And this is on live television.
Such an asshole.
This total choke artist.
He's just such a dick. He's a bad person. This is the other part, too, right? Is like, you look at somebody and the totality of who they are as a person, right? And I look at Donald Trump, and he's just an asshole. Like, he's just a bad guy, right? And so all of these allegations of women with the sexual assault and the sexual harassment or harassment.
That was my radio name for a while. I wasn't very popular, but back in 1979, I worked in Top 40 Radio. My name was actually Harris Mint. I was Harris.
No, it was not.
Harris Mint in the morning. Hey, everybody, Harris Mint in the morning.
Oh, come on.
No, of course not. I was 8 years old in 1979.
Terrible.
So go on, Jackie.
It's better than spearmint.
Stupid. Yeah, that's true.
So, or peppermint. Sorry. Gone awry. Now I lost my train of thought. Oh, okay, you know, he's just a bad dude, right? And we have him admitting to all of this stuff on tape. It's so easy to believe, right? Yeah. Because he's just a dick in all aspects of his life.
Yeah, of course.
It's frustrating when you hear about this behavior from somebody that you respect.
Yeah.
Right? And I respect Senator Franken. Like, I think that he's done some really great stuff. I think he's a champion of good causes. I think he, you know, he was a comedian, but I, you know, and I think now that he's a member of the Congress, he's more dignified. And I don't know, it's frustrating because I don't believe that men in positions of power are immune from that behavior at all. Mm-hmm. But it's just frustrating when you look at the totality of somebody's character.
Yeah.
And you look at something like that and you think, oh, I thought he was better than that. Mm-hmm. And it's disappointing.
Yep.
And then you look at somebody like Trump where you're like, I didn't expect anything else.
Yeah.
Well, that's who I thought he was.
Yeah. I mean, Al Franken could have gotten up in front of the Senate and said, hey, you know what? Locker room talk. What do you want? Yeah. We're doing a comedy show for the USO. Yeah. We're all sleepy. We're all groggy. Maybe we had a couple of drinks on the way and we were just being silly. Locker room talk, you know, locker room talk.
No.
And he could have used that same excuse, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. He did. He actually took accountability. He took responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to think now that the Democrats are the party of personal responsibility, no longer the Republicans, who will blame anybody except themselves for anything, no matter what it is.
It's to our political detriment,
yeah.
But it is to a personal there's a personal gratification in that, right? Knowing that you're a better person. But it is politically damaging because we do like to think, somebody wrote this on Twitter, and it's a point that I've often made, is that we like to hold ourselves to a higher moral standard.
Yeah.
And just as a party in general, I think we try to, because we like to think that we're a big tent party that fights for civil rights and fights for, you know, the moral high ground on a lot of inclusive issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that what happens is, in the interest of maintaining that high ground, that we tend to be the first to admit wrongdoing and accept whatever the responsibility is for that wrongdoing.
Yeah.
Whereas politically, the opposition does a lot of deflecting and a lot of not my problem, not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up winning politically because they're a win at all costs, in a win at all costs stance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the hope is
it is detrimental to us to be ethical and moral.
Yeah.
But it's who I would like to be, but it is at the cost of winning sometimes and getting ahead.
That's the real pisser, that it's not for lack of a better term, it's not a bilateral thing. It's not something that's happening. The Republicans are accepting responsibility and so are the Democrats. It's not like that. Unfortunately, the Democrats have the onus of taking responsibility for this because I think we're the smarter and sensible side of this ledger.
And we demand it, right? Democrats demand that our leadership be better.
Exactly.
Republicans have proven that they don't demand that because they elected Trump.
While we're
not all Republicans, but the party.
Yeah. To quote Michelle Bachmann, when they go low, we go high. Although that is not always the politically expedient way to go.
Mm-hmm, exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
It's the more moral and I think ethical and responsible way to proceed, although it's not only, I don't always believe that to be the case. I do think sometimes when they go low, the only way to fire back is to also go low. But we have the benefit being, you know, being the commentators in all of this, being the spectators, having the front row seats to observe everything that's going on. We have the luxury of being able to go low. But people like Al Franken don't always have that luxury. They have to proceed as the leadership of this side of the political debate. So they're in that unenviable position where they have to stand up as an example for how the rest of us should behave when we don't always behave that way.
And
so
Anthony Weiner's a good example too, right? Like, he was a good champion of the people, right? Like, he was a good fighter in Congress, and people liked what he was doing politically. His behavior was despicable on a personal level, and he obviously, you know, eventually crossed that line that landed him in jail. But it was disappointing when you lose a good fighter, but you also understand that there is behavior that's disqualifying. Like, it's more important that you hold people up And that you don't prop them up in spite of their bad behavior,
right?
That you hold them accountable for their bad behavior. And, you know, while it was frustrating to learn of that behavior, people were more than happy to say, look, you know, we hold him accountable for what he's done. Like there was, and when he tried to make a comeback and people were more than willing to say, hey, look, dude, no, you know, I mean, there was plenty of frustration on the left and people who were not willing to stand behind Wiener the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever see that on the right. I really don't. I don't see that condemnation.
Yeah, no, it's obviously not happening because what they're geared toward, the way they're wired, is they're just simply wired to troll and to win. And mm-hmm. oftentimes the trolling feeds the drive to win. They're solely geared toward not only making liberals cry or whatever metaphor, the snowflake thing or whatever the hell they're talking about, but they're really, I mean, the Republican Party, here's the way it goes. The Democrats want to govern, but we don't necessarily always prioritize winning. On the other hand, Republicans prioritize winning and they just don't want to govern. That's kind of the difference between one of the many differences between the
two
parties.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So you know what I want to do? I want to take one last quick break and get this break out of the way so we can dig into the U.S. Embassy story.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I also want to dig into this trophy hunting story that's coming out of the White House that has just got me absolutely infuriated beyond belief, because this is a big smoochy gift to douchebag Don Jr. and his gummy brother Eric, and this is all about them going over to kill animals just to watch them die. All right, we'll get into it after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, it is. Make sure to go shopping through our eBay link, our Target link, or our Macy's link. Just go to BobSeska.com, and all caps, you'll see those links just beneath the logo. We get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing extra, and you make me really, really happy when you do, okay? What was I going to say? Oh, I don't know. Oh, life is a highway. Don't you know that, Jackie?
I like this song.
I'm sad to say.
Does that make me a dork?
I'm embarrassed to say that so do I. So do I.
It's what sounds like this that come on. You're like, I'm jamming to this, even though I'm a total dork.
That's right. It's like one of those. It's a guilty pleasure song that you just.
Did I share that I've been banned from karaoke?
Have you really been banned from where?
Well, in our own home. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that they've sent the word out to professional karaoke establishments as well.
What was there? Did
my voice is that bad.
Did your boyfriend's name is Dan, right?
Danny, yeah.
Danny sent out like a press release to everybody. Said, yeah. We make sure.
Well, it actually comes. I mean, talk about like out of the mouths of babes, right? Like Danny's got kids who I adore. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that I could love these little munchkins so much.
Yeah.
But they are honest to a fault. And, after Jackie did one, we got a karaoke machine last Christmas, and Jackie did one song in front of the family at karaoke, and now the kids are like, everyone karaoke, just not you, Jackie.
Jackie
can be the backup dancer.
Let's have fun, except for Jackie.
Because I'm a good dancer. I can't sing.
Tell me, what song did you perform that made you banned from performing karaoke?
God, I'm embarrassed to say. Okay, so
Was it Mac the Knife?
No, it wasn't even a good karaoke song.
Wilson Phillips?
Right? I should have tried that. I probably could do some sort of rap where I don't have to be...
Right.
I don't have to have a lot of like variation in my tone.
You might be a little bit too Caucasian for that. That's just my guess.
I got some rhythm.
Okay.
Just the way I say I got some rhythm indicates to you that I got some rhythm.
Yeah.
No, I did Shakira's Gypsy because it has a personal meaning for me.
Wow. Okay.
I tried to get all sentimental in it, and I love that song, but yeah, it was not good. It was just not cute. There's video somewhere. It's not good.
There's video. Oh, well, now I have to get my hands on that. Yeah, I will pay cash money for video.
It's not good.
You're on the show again. You're on the show again the Thursday after Thanksgiving. No show next Thursday, but the Thursday after that, you're on again. I hope to have that videotape in my hands. So someone better say, I have to send Danny a DM and say, hey, could you do me a favor for the good of the show?
Yeah.
Send me the video.
He loves me too much.
Right. Well, okay. So now going from that to something that just that has pissed me off in the extreme. I mean, you would talk about something that makes me furious. I mean, it's like one of those things where, watching the daily Trump awfulness, the tennis ball machine of goddamn madness, of just being assaulted by that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
This goes far beyond any normal issue. This is about slaughtering exotic animals just to watch them die. And Donald Trump, the Trump administration, has decided to lift the Obama-era ban on shipping parts of elephants, elephant trophies shot by trophy hunters back into the United States. And you know why this is happening? It's not just, as I said before the break, it's not just Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. who like to go like the sociopaths they are and to kill animals just to watch them die. That to me ought to get them red flagged for having homicidal tendencies.
Right? I mean, isn't that the first sign is when you start to kill animals? Yeah, that's how it begins.
I mean, that's what I thought. I thought, didn't we learn from the show Dexter that if people are killing animals just to watch them die, that is a huge red flag that person is probably going to want to do similar things to mm-hmm. human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. But you know what this is all about? This is all about undoing the Obama legacy. This is about Barack Obama. This is Donald Trump going through the list. Someone inside.
Oh, and don't tell me you're hunting elephants for food. Like, don't give me that baloney.
No,
right?
Well,
like hunters, like game hunters who are hunting for. Where do you think your food comes from? Like, don't give me that argument about elephants.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, all we got to do is look at the pictures. I mean,
the Trumps aren't eating elephant. That's not happening.
Right.
So.
But these unapologetic morons, these guys with their shit eating grins, standing over, and it's not
so
just
gross.
It's not just the Trump boys. It's all of these people who like to go to Africa. Shoot animals just to watch them die. Then they have their stupid mugs photographed while standing over the corpses. In the case of Donald Trump Jr., there's like he's holding an elephant's tail that he, for some fucked up reason, decided to saw off the elephant's corpse. And then you have the two of them standing there with like a cheetah that they've killed or whatever the hell.
Yeah, you have a gun and the animal doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a big man. You won. Like, what is that?
I think next time Donald Trump Jr. wants to go up to the Yukon or wherever the hell he goes, last time he ditched his Secret Service protection, which was a major breach of national security. We don't even get into that. But he goes to the Yukon to go shoot animals just to watch them die. Next time that happens, let's put his money where his stupid mouth is. And actually arm the animals, too. Just put frickin' laser beams on their frickin' heads and see if
laser cats. When is their birthday? Is this like, what do you get the douchebags who have everything? I mean, daddy, can you roll back the law that lets me bring home an animal head? Thanks, daddy. Where did this come from? I mean, this is so out of the blue and so obviously geared towards his dicky kids.
Yes, it's about his kids and it's about sticking it to Obama and making people like us angry.
Maybe this is the last gift for Don Jr. before he goes to jail. Maybe that's
that's right. I mean, I should tweet to him. Hey, are you allowed to bring elephant trophies into federal prison? Is that a thing?
Asking for a friend.
Hey, can you also bring your hair gel into federal prison? You should start working on that. Figure out some sort of underground supply line to get your hair gel and your fucking stupid elephant trophies. Oh, God, does that piss me off. There's just no reason for it. This is just, when we talk about the Trump Republicans trolling people, this is exactly what we're talking about. There's no call whatsoever to do this. There's no...
There was no petition for this.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no uprising. You're not representing the people in this decision.
I mean, there are people in Lafayette Park just like picketing all day long. We want our elephant trophies. We're douchebag rich people and we want to keep our elephant tusk. Oh, my God. So, okay. So, really, the I really feel like I maybe should have led with this story because it is such a big deal. Yeah, the embassy story. Rachel Maddow did such an incredible deep dive on this in her A block the other night. And it, and I feel like almost to detail it would be redundant. Just go back and watch what Rachel said.
It's on our
this.
Site. It's, yeah, it's on our site. It's on investigaterussia.org. The video's there. The whole first segment.
Yep, absolutely.
It's long. It's 24 minutes, but that's okay. You can fast forward through parts of it if you need to. If you can't watch all 24, but it's worth it. It's worth taking the time to watch it.
Well, suffice to say, we've had this long history with our embassy in Moscow. In fact, Kimberly Johnson used to live there. I mean, she lived
in the
Moscow
embassy?
In the early 80s. Yeah, because her dad was a cameraman for ABC News, and so he was stationed at the Moscow station, the Moscow bureau, and so she lived there with him.
That's exciting.
Kind of amazing to hear her stories about. You know, her and her friends used to go up and troll some of the Soviet. Soldiers and the Soviet guards just by leaving.
Cool is your girlfriend?
They put together a fake top secret file that they wrote on the outside of the envelope. It just said top secret.
And they
left it out on the sidewalk and then it vanished. Suddenly disappeared. But anyway, so we've had this ongoing history with the Russians bugging our embassy and doing it because of our own stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it looks like the State Department has hired a firm that's owned by a former director of the KGB and Putin confidant to run security for our U.S. embassy in Moscow. This is unfucking believable. When we're talking about collusion, when we're talking about what does Putin get out of installing Donald Trump in the White House, this is what we're talking about.
Stems from Putin retaliating for Obama kicking diplomats out of the U.S.
Yeah.
He decided that the American diplomatic mission in Russia had to eliminate 755 workers, right? That was his mandate, and they had to be out by September 1st.
Yes.
So then the State Department turns around and says, well, now we have an urgency. We need to replace those workers. Meanwhile, at the time, I have to point this out, Trump stood up and said, thank you, you've cut our payroll. Because he's a fucking moron.
He is
right?
Such an idiot.
So anyway, he thanked a foreign power for kicking employees off of the American diplomatic mission.
Yeah.
And they weren't all Americans, from what I understand. They were screened in country. They were mostly Russian, I think, actually, who were eliminated from those positions. But anyway, so the State Department then says, hey, we have an urgency and an emergency and we need to staff up.
Yeah.
So it goes and it says, because I don't know if you read the document that was posted on the State Department website, because I went back and read that, right? The story comes from the New York Times originally, and then Maddow did an amazing breakdown of it and the history behind it. But if you read the document, which also on Investigate Russia, but if you read the document, it says there are no U.S. companies who we interviewed three companies. We looked at three companies. There are no U.S. companies who are licensed to do this kind of work in Russia. And we looked at other companies in Russia, and none of them have the licenses to work in these places immediately, and this is urgency, so we have to use this. I mean, it was like, we interviewed three, there weren't any, and so we have to go with this company.
God damn it.
It's just extraordinary. And so this KGB boss of Putin's, who spent 25 years in, like, counterintelligence operations.
You're planting agents, it says here in the New York Times, planting agents in Western security services and hunting down other operatives. That's the guy who's now in charge of the U.S. embassy.
Yeah, security of the U.S.
Jesus
embassy. And
Christ.
And we're not talking about, like, the military security. Like, these are the people that are going to screen visitors.
Yeah.
On top of that, he actually doesn't have a controlling stake in the company anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that his son runs the Moscow company head office.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You know, small details.
Right. Now they're getting a $2.8 million no-bid
contract.
No-bid contract. Right. Mm-hmm. So $2.8 million to this Russian firm in Moscow with very deep KGB connections. So much, again, whatever happened to America first, right? Not only do we have Donald Trump drinking bottled water from Fiji, right? Sucking that down like cocaine or Adderall in his case. But also now we're giving no bid contracts to Moscow firms, to Russian firms at the expense of American firms when Americans should be doing this job. If not for the stupid America first thing that Trump screamed during his inaugural, but for the sake of national security. I mean, it's a
you couldn't
no-brainer.
Find a contractor and expedite the licensing process for that. I mean, I just find it hard to believe that the State Department couldn't get around that and somehow find an American firm that could do. I mean, we have plenty of independent security contracting firms. I cannot imagine there is not one in the United States that could not be approved and licensed in order to do that kind of work because
I mean,
it was of national security importance.
Yeah, and they're in no hurry to staff up the State Department, obviously, and that's a whole other topic of conversation. But the fact of the matter is it's not like there's some rush that they can't take some time to vet and license an American firm to take care of that security, as you were saying. The thing is that instead they've gone to this Russian firm, which is only going to be, I mean, this is basically like, okay, here you go, Vladimir Putin. Have all of our top secret information. Just take it, because we're handing it to you. I mean, Rachel said on the show the other night, we're literally handing Vladimir Putin the keys to our embassy in Moscow.
Pretty much.
That's the bottom line in all of this. Just uneffing believable. So
and these things get buried. I mean, I saw the story in the New York Times. It didn't really appreciate the urgency and importance. And then Rachel did a segment on it, and I saw social media blow up with like, oh my God, Rachel's segment was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I went back and I reread the article to Rachel's credit and was like, oh yeah, she's right. Like, this is a big deal. But the thing is, these things get buried because there's so much outrage. Every minute of every day is another Trump disaster.
Yeah.
That the things that are happening behind the scenes that are actually out in the open but feel like they're behind the scenes because they've gotten so pushed down on the scale of mortification. Like, we're so mortified by everything that this gets lost in the shuffle. And the New York Times, the Washington Post, Business Insider, CNN, I mean, they're all doing amazing work in exposing MSNBC, obviously, Rachel, but they're exposing all of this stuff that's happening, especially because I'm biased towards the Russia investigation at this point and making sure that that stays top of mind for people. Mm-hmm. But they're doing this amazing work. It's just that there's story after story after story, and it's getting buried by the other stories that are piled on top of it.
Right, right. And this isn't the same week. This is during the same week when we had this story from BuzzFeed about 60 Russian payments quote unquote, finance election campaign of 2016.
It's hard to imagine they'd be so stupid as to put that in the memo line of the wire transfer. Yep. Like, that's the part that's a little baffling to me. Mm-hmm. So I would find it hard to believe that those are as nefarious as we would like to think.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine you'd write that in the memo. You're not that stupid. But who knows?
Well, this is Sergey Lavrov. This is the Russian Foreign Ministry. So this is, and Sergey Lavrov, I don't trust him as far as I could throw him. This guy is a world-class asshole. You know, talk about the Russian version of Trump, or at least somewhere in that spectrum. Lavrov is a serious dick. Remember mm-hmm. he was at the White House, and they went over to the State Department, and it was the same, what was it, the same day that Comey got fired, and Lavrov was just being an asshole to Andrea Mitchell.
Laughing?
Yeah, as Andrea Mitchell was asking.
Oh, really? That happened?
Yeah. I mean, because remember, Lavrov was standing there with Rex Tillerson, and I think they were at the State Department, and Andrea Mitchell was just peppering them with questions, and Lavrov was doing this, what? I can't hear you. You might want to speak up a little louder. What? And he was just deliberately trolling Andrea Mitchell there, and this is just after he and his buddy Kislyak probably planted bugs inside the Oval Office. I mean, we have to assume at this point that the entire White House, if not the State Department, is fully compromised by the Russians. I mean, just
that meeting in the Oval Office where it was Lavrov and Kislyak.
Yeah.
Kislyak, by the way, who was not mentioned on the official White House press release. The press release said Lavrov was there. It didn't mention Kislyak was there. And the only reason we knew Kislyak was there is because the photos came out, and they were not American photos. They were photos by the one Russian photo entity that was allowed to be in the room.
Yeah.
But that meeting, at the time, the reports were that Putin personally asked Trump to have that meeting in the Oval Office. He specified that Trump was to invite Lavrov into the Oval Office. Yeah. That was the news at the time. It's been a little bit lost over time, but when that story came out, I remember specifically that he invited them into the Oval Office at the request of Putin.
Yeah, with a cameraman and a bunch of other officials who, as far as I know, we still don't know the entire roster of people who are also standing there. But there were zero American press officials there.
Not allowed.
In the room, too.
Yeah.
But there was a Russian press guy. Suffice to say, we now have this story with the Russian foreign ministry sending 60 money transfers to its embassies around the globe, most of them bearing a note that said the money was to be used to finance election campaign of 2016. I don't know what the extent of that is or where that money went afterwards.
It doesn't say which election. It doesn't say there was a parliamentary election in Russia at that point. And they were saying that they sometimes have to set up like remote election offices.
Right.
So that could be for that. There are other countries that had elections at the time. But it's definitely, look, it's worth looking into. And that's what the FBI is doing. They're tracing all of these leads. And I think that's what we have to expect.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And the best practices in all of this stuff is to, obviously, as the cliche goes, follow the money.
All
and that's the key. But we also
and there's a whole lot of money.
We also heard this week that Mueller is looking into Mike Flynn's plot to kidnap that Turkish cleric who's now an American citizen living in the Poconos. And so if there's anything that I think is going to take Flynn down, well, I think this is clearly going to be one of the indictments against Mike Flynn Sr.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to have to do with the kidnapping or the attempted kidnapping of that guy, the conspiracy to kidnap him. I mean, we're talking about an American citizen. And Mike Flynn wanted to send him back to Turkey.
A prison island, right?
Yeah, exactly. Basically to be tortured and killed. I mean, that's exactly what would happen. Because
for
Erdogan...
$15 million!
Exactly right. I mean, Erdogan wants to see this guy dead, 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 dead. Erdogan, by the way, is the Turkish Trump. And there isn't a dictator that Trump doesn't love to death. Trump loves him some dictators. Duterte, who, by the way, mispronounced Duterte's name in that speech yesterday.
Well, he called him Rodrigo.
Yeah, I called him Rodrigo Duterte. That's what Trump called him. He's Trump's best buddy in the Philippines, but he called him Duterte. By the way, Trump also lying about Obama having not landed in the Philippines. Kept saying yesterday, and has said for months now, that Obama was never allowed to land in the Philippines. He was never invited to land. Not true. Of course it's not true. This is more deucification of Trump foreign policy. It's all, you know, it's foreign policy made by Brian Kilmeade and Steve Doocy. That's the extent of the Trump platform on overseas relations. Jesus God, we're so screwed. Lots still to talk about. We got the postmortem show coming up. It's going to be a little bit of a short one today, but go to our Patreon page by hitting bobsesca.com just beneath the logo. The all caps Patreon link takes you right there. Sign up at $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever the hell else you want to choose there. You get lots of free stuff, lots of bonus features that go along with the show, commercial free versions of the show, the postmortem shows, the after party, and a whole lot more. Thank you, Jackie. We'll see you on the postmortem show.
You got it.
Somber, so somber.